Over to you. Thank you for being willing to speak to us this morning.
Thanks, Trevor. We're going to talk about the reward. So it's clearly a reward-winning cake that you've just shown. So part of being human is to love award ceremonies. And because we are relational beings, it is special to be on the receiving end of rewards, but also to see other people being rewarded and to hand rewards out. So when we think about families and friends, I think we all like seeing children and grandchildren being rewarded at school or sports ceremonies. And it's also true for adults in working life. And even for somebody that's 100 years old, I think it was special this week to see Captain Tom being knighted by the Queen. And I'm sure it brought a lot of joy to him, but also to the Queen who awarded the knighthood. And then, of course, for all of us who observed it. So the idea of rewards and award ceremonies might not just be like a human invention. I think if we are created to be like God, then it's likely that God as a Trinity also likes awards and rewarding others. So offering rewards could be consistent with God's relational characteristics. So I think God likes honoring people. He likes to acknowledge a job well done, saying thank you, being just and fair. And also loving. And as Christians, we believe in a God of plenty and a God of generosity. It is possible, I think, that even Jesus was partly motivated by rewards, because it says he endured the cross because of the joy set before him in Hebrews 12:2. And apart from dying and paying the price to save billions of people, it kind of looks like it was worth hanging on the cross for the joy that he would experience afterwards. I think perhaps Jesus knew that there would be an enormous personal and collective joy, and even joy amongst the members of the Trinity, if he could complete his mission on earth. And because God is a Trinity, I think it becomes possible for the actions of one of the members of the Trinity to be pleasing to other members of the Trinity. So if we think back to Jesus' baptism, the Father said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." So I think for Christians, Judgment Day is going to be a very joyous and special day. If you think about the Oscars and the Olympic Games, the biggest award ceremony of all times is coming, and it's kind of waiting for all of us. So today I'd like to talk about, I think, a potentially controversial topic. And to be honest, I've not heard much teaching on this. And it's about some of the Bible verses that suggest that we'll appear before the judgment seat and receive some rewards in heaven. So I'm clearly not a scholar on the topic. I'm only going to share with you some of my thinking and some of the reading. I don't want to pretend I've got this sorted, and I don't even think I've got a revelation, but I'll just try to summarize some of the kind of verses for us. And I think it'll be good for us to think about, you know, some of this as a community of believers. So the first question is, what exactly does the Bible say on this kind of topic? And I'm going to ask Nia to read a few verses for us, please.
So 2 Corinthians 5, verse 9 to 10. So whether we are at home or away in heaven, we make it our aim to please him, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. Revelation 20, verse 11 to 13. Then I saw a great white throne, and him who was seated on it. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne. And books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead were judged according to what they had done, as recorded in the book. The sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them, and each person was judged according to what they had done. Revelation 22, verse 12. Jesus said, "Look, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I'll give to each person according to what they have done."
That's great. Thanks, Nia. And so for some reason, these verses have stuck with me over recent months, and I think the question is, am I really living my life like somebody for whom the award ceremonies will be real, or do I perhaps need to refocus my life? First of all, I just want to say unambiguously, we are not saved by works. So Ephesians 2 verse 8 is very clear that we're saved by God's grace through faith in Jesus. It's a gift of God, and it's not by ourselves that we can be saved. I spoke to, helpfully and thankfully, to Trevor yesterday, just soundboarding some of these ideas. And Trevor highlighted that with Luther and the Reformation in the church, the whole emphasis obviously moved to salvation and justification by faith, and away from paying the church or paying the priest for our sins, and away from the idea that we can be saved by doing good works. So there was clearly a move away from the idea of performance. But the question is, have we moved too far away? What's the right balance? So James 2:26 says, faith without works is dead. So faith without works is dead. So the question is, what is the balance? And like I said, I don't think I've got the answers, but the whole topic kind of interests me, and I hope for some of you too. So having listened to Nia and what she read in Revelation 20, but then also what the psalmist says, it sounds like all the days of our lives are written up, and everything that we've done, both good and bad. I don't know how this is going to work, but imagine there's a book for each one of us, and on the left-hand side, you've got all the bad things that you've done in your life, and then on the right-hand side, all the good things that you've done. I think my theology is correct that the left-hand side will be kind of erased or deleted for all the Christians, because Romans 8 verse 1 says, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ, for those who walk in the Spirit and not the flesh. And I think living a life according to the Spirit is partly part of the key here, you know, because we can't do these things out of our own strength, but we also know that the flesh can't please God. So it has to be done through the Spirit as we are kind of born again Christians. So although we don't get saved by doing good deeds, I think our works and deeds that are written on the right-hand side of the page will matter on celebration day. But also 1 Corinthians 3 says our works will be tested by fire. And if our works are burnt up, we will suffer loss. We will be saved, but like somebody who's effectively just escaped the flames. So I think the other context for me was just living in the middle of the pandemic. And it's made me think again about my priorities in life, and perhaps for some of you too. I think many of us work very hard, part of kind of... we're on the treadmill in the rat race, so we don't want to live wasted lives. And rather than having toiled in vain, I think most of us would like to be like the servant in Matthew 25, where the master said, well done, good and faithful servant. Come and enter into the joy of the master. So what is it that God wants us to do? And what is it that will bring joy to him? And what is it that will be rewarded on Judgment Day? And there's actually a surprisingly long list, in fact, it's too long for me to mention today, on the kind of things that I think are valued by God and will be rewarded by God. So Nina and I had long conversations about this, and I think, but Nina said something which is really important, which is if you look at companies, most companies at their annual rewards or bonuses, they reward the things that they value, and there's something true also for God. I think by seeing what it is that God will reward, we also get a glimpse into God's heart and the Father's heart. So what are the things that are important for the Father? And it's partly a glimpse into that, like I say, is by just looking at the kind of things in the Bible that are mentioned in the context of rewards. So I'll just share some of it. Like I said, the list is surprisingly long. And see if any of these kind of resonates with you. So in Matthew 6, it talks about prayer and fasting, and it says, if we pray and fast in secret, our Father who sees in secret will reward us in the open. There's something about giving to people in need. Luke 3 verse 11 talks about, I think it's about generosity, but also, you know, our money, but also other things. Luke 3 11 talks about if you have two tunics, give one to somebody who hasn't got a tunic. And to be honest, I think I've got too many unused coats and jackets in my own wardrobe. And similarly, you know, are there things in our lofts that perhaps can bless our neighbor? Jesus said to them, a rich man, sell all your possessions, give it to the poor, follow me and you'll have a treasure in heaven. So the big question I think for all of us is, as our material things become too important, perhaps during the pandemic, I think we've realized we don't need that much actually. But also, can we perhaps get rid of some of the things that we have and bless others? So the question is your where's your treasure? Is it on your mantelpiece? Is it in the bank? Is it in the loft? Or is it in heaven? Similarly, in Luke 6:35, it says that your reward will be great if you love your enemies and if you lend to people without expecting anything in return. And then the question is why? And then it says, because God, we are called to be like God, who loves ungrateful and evil people. So another idea is about religion. And there's actually, I think religion has got quite a bad stigma over the years and centuries in the eyes of the world. But there is a fascinating verse in James 1:27 that says, you know, what is faultless and pure religion in God's eyes? And it says, well, James 1:27 says that pure and faultless religion before God is that we visit orphans and widows in their affliction. I think very few people on earth would disagree with that kind of religion where, you know, we look after people who are lonely or who need a variety of things. And then there's a second part to that verse that says, and the second part of pure religion is that we keep ourselves untainted from the world. So in other words, we need to stay away from sin. And I think each one of us will struggle and at times maybe dabble with sins that we're conscious of. But in the context of the kind of, you know, award ceremony, it's about, and also of course, because it's what God wants and sin is hardly ever good for us. It is about gradually overcoming those things, not in our own strength, but ultimately through the power of the Spirit. In 1 Corinthians 9, Paul says, for the sake of an imperishable crown, I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself could be disqualified from the race. We're also called, obviously, to share our faith and the gospel with other people. The last book of Daniel says, those who lead many to righteousness will shine like stars forever. And I think we also know the verse that says some will plant and some will water, and that everybody will receive a laborer's reward. So it's about bringing people to Christ, but then also discipling them. And different people will have different roles, you know, in each young believer's life. There's something about remaining steadfast under trials and persecution. Matthew 5:12 says, rejoice and be glad when they persecute you, for your reward is great in heaven. And finally, I think it's about developing and maximizing our talents. We all know the parable of the guy with the 5 talents who made another 5, and then the guy with 2 made another 2. But the person with the 1 talent buried it, and ultimately that was taken away from the person. And then Ephesians 2:10 says, each one of us are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we walk in them. So I think it's about each one of us trying and seeking God to find out what is it that God has prepared for us and wanted us to kind of do during our time on earth. So the topic is clearly complicated for many reasons. I don't think I'd know how it's going to work. What about if you've had a short life? What if you were a baby that died at 2 or 1 years old or 2 months? Because obviously you'll have less chance than somebody that's 100 years old to accumulate your rewards. But I think ultimately God will be just and fair. We also know, and Trevor highlighted this, that you know, the last will be first and the first will be last. So God's kingdom work in unusual ways. Some people say they don't care about rewards and just being in heaven and being saved and in God's presence is good enough. But again, I think we could then potentially ignore all these scriptures at our own peril. Some rewards will be received and some will be lost. At the moment, obviously, the young people are doing their A-levels and there are actually very clear guidelines on how to write an A-plus answer, an A answer, a B or a C. So if you want to get the right grades to go to the right university, you probably need to look at those guidance sheets on, you know, what is it that you need to get an A, what do you need to do to get a B. And I think the Bible is actually perhaps more clear than we think in terms of what kind of rewards are valued and will be on offer. Of course, I think this is where, you know, I'm at risk of being a hypocrite too. You know, the whole question is that we can miss all of it because we do and pursue rewards for the whole wrong reasons. So we can do it for the wrong motives. God will ultimately test our hearts and our attitudes. If we do rewards to be seen by people or to boast about it, then, you know, we may get a reward in this life, but not the next. And clearly, I think the most important thing is that we need to do these things because of our love of God and love for God, and also our love for other people and ourselves. John 14:15 says, "If you love me, you will do my commandments." And I think that's the essence. If you really love God, and I think this is actually true in marriages too, if you love your partner, you would do their commandments, you would do what's important to them, sometimes not because it's, you know, less important to you, but it's ultimately about your love for somebody else and what is important to that person. So like we've said before, these things are glimpses, or these rewards are glimpses into the Father's heart and what's important to God. And we do these things to please the Father, partly because we're grateful for being saved, but ultimately also because we love God, and then the rewards will follow naturally. So I hope the talk's not going to make anybody feel condemned. Some of us are more relationship-focused and some more task and perhaps reward-focused. And I think it's ultimately both are important. And of course, we can't do any of this through our own power or through our flesh, but it's about doing these things through the Spirit as new creations and born-again believers. So let me summarize. The Bible is clear. Each one of us will stand before God on Judgment Day, surrounded by many others. And some will be judged, and some will be saved as if by fire. And for God's Spirit-led children, there will be a joyous occasion with many rewards given and received. Paul says, in 1 Corinthians 9, everyone runs the race, but not everyone gets a prize. So let's run the race well, not for the sake of performance or competition, but let's do it for the sake of relationships. So I think when you and I run the race well, and when we get rewards in heaven, we individually and collectively and every member of the Trinity will have more to celebrate on that joyous day. So thank you, Trevor. I don't know if you want to share a few thoughts, and then I think it'll be really good to hear what people think in the breakaway groups, in cell groups perhaps this week, and then also maybe after our meeting at the end when we just discuss this informally.
Thank you, David. Great, very stimulating. Thank you for bringing those thoughts to us and getting us to think about probably areas, as you say, that we don't regularly dip into. Sort of gone off our agenda quite a bit, hasn't it? The whole idea of this rewards theology, which is in the Bible. So very thorough, as always, David. So thank you. Bless you for that. Really good. So we're going to head into our breakout groups. And as David said, we can perhaps highlight some of the things that particularly impacted us from what he said, opportunity to share perhaps other things and to pray together for a few minutes. We'll do that for about 12 minutes or so, 10 or 12 minutes. So let me set that up for us so that we can go there, and then we'll come back together. I'll send you a little heads up as to when we're coming back so that you've got a time as usual. So have a great time in the groups, and see you back shortly.